Well, good morning, TNC family. From my home to wherever you are on this third summer Sunday of July, where today we're going to dive into the second half of our series called More. So let's pray together and then dive into the scriptures together. God, we come to you this morning with both gratitude and humility, understanding that you are the indescribable, unfathomable, uncontainable God of billions of galaxies, including our Milky Way, our solar system, our planet, this city, and this community. And you are here, God, in the spaces and dimensions all around us. And we thank you this morning, too, for Jesus, who lived and taught us that you, God, are a loving Father, one who listens and cares, who comforts us in our weaknesses, strengthens us with your power, and speaks to us through your Spirit. And so we're eager to dedicate ourselves now to learning from you. Amen. Well, we started last week by acknowledging that in every situation you find yourself in, there is always more to see and more to hear if you'll just pause, pay attention, and really look, really listen. A point Jesus made over and over in the scriptures, where there is story after story after story of Jesus opening the eyes of folks who can already see, and the ears of people who can already hear. Often couched in this somewhat cryptic phrase he liked to use, quote, "Let anyone who has ears to hear pay attention to what I'm really saying." A phrase he not only repeated multiple times, but a phrase that's also repeated over and over again in the book of Revelation. Because in every situation you find yourself in, there's always more to see and more to hear. I'm saying we have this enormous opportunity to truly see and hear God's Spirit, even in seemingly mundane moments and encounters and objects, if we'll pause, pay attention, and see the more in the moment. Which is why we saw last week that God's Spirit can bring us wisdom, not just through the anthills of Proverbs chapter 6 and the flowers of Luke 12 and the stars of Psalm 8 and the farmer planting seeds in Matthew 13 and the widow at the temple of in Mark chapter 12, but also through an Olympic diving competition scoring system, the career of a retiring NFL place kicker, and a six-year-old boy hanging out with his dad at work. "Let anyone who has ears to hear," Jesus said, "pay attention to what I'm really saying." But I think we are in need of more examples today of how this can work, of how God's wisdom can speak to us through seemingly ordinary moments, encounters, and objects. Because if we can get this, TNC, I mean really get it, it will radically alter for the better every aspect of our lives. At home, on the commute, at work, at the beach, pool, ballpark, tennis court, soccer field, restaurant, living room, kitchen table, everywhere. But we're going to do this a little differently today, and this is going to be a lot of fun, I think. So listen carefully. Last week, I gave you first the wisdom, the more, that can be seen in a situation. And then I gave you the example that brought to light that more. I said, here's the wisdom. Life is filled with degrees of difficulty. And then I told you the story of the Olympic diving scoring system. Or I told you that in life, opportunities arise when you are reliable. And then I shared with you the story that brought that truth to light, the story of Adam Vinatieri. But today I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to tell you the story, the encounter first, and then I'm going to tell you about the pause and the paying attention. And finally, I will reveal the wisdom, the illumination, the more that can emerge for anyone who has ears to hear. And of course, the advantage of this way is that God's Spirit might actually reveal to you a different bit of wisdom, as you also have ears to hear what the Spirit says. Than if I had just given you my bit of wisdom in advance of the story. So, here we go. Number one, here's the story. I was teaching piano lessons to one of my students not long ago, and after the lesson, my student's mother, knowing I'm a pastor as well, said, "Oh, can I share with you quickly an answered prayer story?" And I said, "Of course, I'd love to hear it." And so she told me that the previous week, the morning before her family was planning to drive to Disney World, she smashed her toe on a door jamb in their home. And the pain was throbbing, the swelling significant. And for the rest of the day, she could barely walk. And when she did, she couldn't put any pressure on the toe. The day before walking around Disney World. And so she told me that she, quote, activated her prayer chain. A texting group thread of women from her church. And she said to me, "David, the next day I was able to walk around Disney World all day. No pain, no limp. It was a God thing. Prayer works," she said. And as she finished sharing, it triggered in my mind immediately an absolutely true story from my childhood. True story, I was 11 years old, and it was the first Monday night football game of the new season. And my mom and dad told me that if I had all my homework done and my teeth brushed and shower taken, that I could stay up and watch the game. And so I made sure my homework was done, teeth brushed, shower taken, because I was a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. Huge. Like, as an 11-year-old, the quality of my week partly hinged on whether the Cowboys won or lost the weekend before. And the Cowboys were playing the Washington Redskins that night, which was the Washington football team's name at the time. But at halftime, in front of a sold-out stadium in Washington on Monday Night Football, the Cowboys were behind 23-3, and I was truly troubled. And so, true story, at halftime, I got up, went to the other room, and knelt down behind our big golden brown recliner, because I could hide behind it pretty easily. I knelt down, and I prayed. And, well, let me just read you from the newspaper the next day, September 6, 1983. Quote, "Dallas comeback beats Redskins 31-30 in a game that will be dissected and cursed for days to come in Washington. The Dallas Cowboys rallied from a 23-3 halftime deficit last night to defeat the Redskins 31-30 in a nationally televised season opener before a sellout of over 55,000 at RFK Stadium. The Redskins were so competent in every way in the first half, but the walls of their Jericho came crashing down in the second half. After quarterback Danny White held to one measly completion in the first half, threw touchdown passes of 75 and 51 yards to wide receiver Tony Hill, closing Dallas to within 23-17 in the third quarter, the Redskins' trouble multiplied again and again. And TNC, I still remember cutting out of the Asheville Citizen-Times newspaper the article with the title, White to Hill Show Sinks Skins. But they didn't know what I knew, which was that the real headline was, 11-year-old boy to God prayer sinks skins. And when my student's mother told me her Disney World story, I had an immediate flashback to that September night as a child. But I also had a second immediate thought as this mother was talking, which is pretty much always part of what I think when I hear an answered prayer story. I almost always think, wow, your answered prayer story stands in stark contrast to most of the stories I hear almost every day as a pastor. Pastor, will you pray for my dad's terminal illness? Yes. But then the father passes away. Will you pray for my loneliness, Pastor? Yes. But then that person is still crushed by loneliness months later. Will you pray I find a job? Yes. But 30 resumes later, no job. Will you pray for my audition? Yes. But no role. Will you pray for my finances? Yes. But still, they struggle paycheck to paycheck year after year. And those unanswered prayers, friends, don't even begin to compare to the unanswered prayers going on in war-torn regions of the world right now, or of the parents who watch as leukemia eats their little child, or the prayers of a couple before their contentious divorce, or the prayers of too many to count in the 1940s as gas chambers exterminated 6 million Jews. And so every time I hear an answered prayer story, I also think of all the unanswered prayers, which is exactly what I was reflecting on driving home that evening after hearing the Disney World answered prayer story. And so that evening before bed, I paused, opened up the scriptures, and I read where Jesus himself, Mark chapter 14, prays in Gethsemane for the cup to pass from him, for there to be another way other than the cross. But the cup does not pass from him, and he is crucified. And then I read the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, quote, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul later says that this unanswered prayer became a thorn in his flesh for the rest of his life. And I also reflected that evening on David's unanswered prayer for the life of his and Bathsheba's child. And I remembered the main point of the book of Job. Now, this is obviously a larger topic, TNC, and we probably should do a whole series on prayer before too long, but here I just want to say that that evening, pausing and reflecting on the Disney World answered prayer conversation, in that moment, in that pause, I believe God's Spirit gave me ears to hear more, which is, I was reminded again that we should be very careful about sharing our answered prayer stories. And I don't know what your more is from these stories, but listening to the Disney story, remembering my own Monday Night Football story, and reading the scriptures later that evening, this is the more that I heard. David, be very careful about sharing your answered prayer stories. And now let me just expand for a second, because first, in my experience, TNC, answered prayer stories have actually done more harm than good. I'm saying when your Disney story comes face to face with my unanswered prayer about my child's depression or my mom's illness or my neighbor's failure to find a job or my best friend's inability to escape that abuse or save that marriage, in those moments, your answered prayer Disney story confuses me, upsets me, makes me feel spiritually inferior, and on and on. So TNC, we should be very careful about sharing our answered prayer stories. And here's another reason to be careful, which is because I actually think that the rational mind knows that your Disney prayer chain and my halftime prayer behind the recliner likely did not actually determine the outcome of your vacation or that football game, even if some part of us refuses that rational thinking. And one other reason we should be very careful, selective, and wise about sharing our answered prayer stories is because answered prayer stories often lead to the conclusion that you and I just need to pray more wisely, pray more boldly, or pray more consistently, or pray more biblically, or pray in circles, like that best-selling book said, or pray the prayer of Jabez, like the other best-selling book said, or activate your prayer chains more often, or kneel behind a recliner at halftime. Which actually, now listen, unintentionally endorses the idea that religion is just magic in a different sort of way. Which is actually pretty dangerous magic, because in my opinion, God would be pretty unwise to let us have the power to get whatever we prayed for. A point that J.R.R. Tolkien makes in The Lord of the Rings when the elf queen Galadriel refuses to accept from Frodo the Great Ring of Power. Because she knows that even though she could conquer the Dark Lord with it, in the end, even she, as good as she is, would become evil with the exercise of more power than she already has. Now, that's not to say we should not pray or that we should not hope, because we should totally follow Jesus' example and pray and trust a good God. It's just that we should separate our prayers from our magical impulses. Because Jesus never saw the good news of a relationship with God, and we should not either, as some new secret way of getting the things we might otherwise be unable to get. The good news, the gospel, is far better than that. And so the wisdom is, the learning is, be very careful about sharing your answered prayer stories. And all of that, TNC, birthed in a story from Disney World when I paused and paid attention and said, Spirit, give me ears to hear. She who has ears to hear, Jesus said, pay attention to what the Spirit is teaching. Okay. Second story, number two, and again, I'm going to tell you the story, the encounter, followed by how the pause and the paying attention can lead to more wisdom and illumination for the one who has ears to hear. And here's the story, actually two stories because they happened on the same day, and the first one is a really quick one, once more from the world of my piano students, where I have one student who regularly complains that I am giving him too much music. I have too many songs, Mr. David. I don't have time to practice them all. And the student says this every week. I mean, pretty much every week. And so I mostly ignore him because I'm pretty certain it's not true. I think practicing is his problem, not the amount of music. But he complains every week about the amount of music. But then I have another student, and he never complains. But he said to me the other day, Mr. David, I think I have too much new music right now. Could we drop one song? And so I listened, and we did. And later that evening, I took an evening walk when I got home and was listening to a sports podcast where the host was talking about Aaron Rodgers, the famous quarterback for the Packers, who this offseason has been complaining about his situation. By the way, any of you ever complain about your work situation? So Aaron Rodgers was complaining, and if you've been following it, refusing to show up for organized team activities this offseason, and hinting to the press that he wants to play elsewhere, which, and here's the point, is not a new thing for him because he has complained mostly every other year for the last 16 years about his role on the team, the general manager, draft picks, offensive philosophy, his salary. And so he's hinting this offseason that he wants to play somewhere else, hinting that he wants to be traded or wants them to replace some personnel and upper management. And so far, what are the Packers doing? Nothing. Not taking his calls, not giving into his demands, not engaging in the media speculation. Nothing. Why? Well, probably because he always complains and always complains a lot, but then always shows up and plays. And the host on this podcast was contrasting this with the story about how Russell Wilson, quarterback in Seattle, after Tom Brady's Super Bowl win in Tampa, and by the way, Russell and Sierra were in the stadium watching Brady win, how Russell Wilson was motivated to work harder himself and frustrated that Seattle wasn't doing more to try to win. And so Russell Wilson, after last year's Super Bowl, complained to management. And the Seahawks responded immediately. Personnel, finances, draft picks, everything. Now why? Because Russell Wilson never complains, almost to a fault, about anything, even the weather. And so I'm on my walk, and these two stories happened hours apart in my life, and so I just paused so I could have ears to hear, and then I talked into the notes on my phone. David, if you are going to complain, do it clearly, quickly, and rarely. If you're going to complain, do it clearly, quickly, and rarely. Because if, in a marriage or a dating relationship, you never complain, even during tough times, then when you occasionally do, the other person is more likely to listen. And when at work you never complain, but always see possibilities and opportunities, then when you occasionally do, your boss is more likely to listen. But when you complain every day, have you ever heard the story of the boy who cried wolf? Oh my word, friends, because if everything is a problem, then nothing is. And there is nothing you want to ignore more than a complaining negative attitude. On the flip side, there's nothing more attractive that you want to respond to more than a positive attitude. Now, TNC, listen, I truly believe that the most common words that will set you back are words of complaint. As high-performance trainer and best-selling author Trevor Moad says, negativity affects you negatively 100% of the time. Which is why the better plan is to follow the words of Maya Angelou, who said, if you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude. Don't complain. Or, to quote the Apostle Paul, who wrote this to the church at Philippi, chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or arguing. Or, as I felt the Spirit speaking to me in that moment, David, if you're going to complain, do it clearly, quickly, and rarely. Okay, last story. Number 3. And this is a real simple one. And again, I'm going to tell you the story, the encounter, followed by how the pause and having ears to hear can lead to God's Spirit speaking more wisdom and illumination into your heart and mind. I was at Target on Monday in the self-checkout lanes, the square area with checkout kiosks around the edges of that square, and my back was turned to several teenagers who were checking out behind me. So I could not see them, but I could definitely hear them because they were having a great time, laughing loudly, talking, goofing around. As I was quietly scanning my avocado, graham crackers, yellow rice, bananas, chips and salsa, and a pack of 16 fruit punch flavored Gatorades, which I put on the bottom rung of the cart. And I'm telling you, these teenagers were having a blast. And as I was checking out, I could hear them walking all the way to the exit doors. And when I finished paying and turned around to head to the doors myself, I noticed a wallet on the ground in front of their kiosk. Driver's license showing through the clear panel, teenage face on the license. And so I picked it up and I ran out the door with my cart in front of me. And I saw them two lanes over, called to them, returned the license and wallet to them, about which they were very grateful. And as I was loading my groceries into the car, I had an ears-to-hear moment. And I thought, now that's a good reminder to me to not get distracted when I'm checking out. Because I'm glad they were having fun, but it almost came at the expense of losing their wallet, money, credit card, ID. And I remembered the words I quoted to you last Sunday from Harvard PhD Daniel Goleman, who is the brain and behavioral scientist, who writes in his book titled Focus, The Hidden Driver of Excellence, quote, "The sweet spot for smart decisions comes not just from being an expert in your field, but also from having the ability to notice that you are not noticing what you should and then correcting your focus." And I thought, yep, that's a simple but good example of losing your focus in the moment. And I got home and I was unloading my groceries when I realized I forgot the 16-pack of Gatorade on the bottom rung of my cart. And now, I'll let you pause, pay attention, and come up with the more, the wisdom from that story, but it was surely instructive to me. I was reading the news last Tuesday, and I don't know if you saw this story about Coca-Cola, but let me read from it. Quote, "If you're a big fan of Coca-Cola Zero Sugar, you may want to brace yourself. The recipe for your beloved drink is changing." And there was a video linked to the article, and so I clicked on the video, which was simply a video about this recipe change, but it also included a few clips from several historic Coca-Cola television ads, which led me to watch an ad from like the 1950s, which ended with these words, "Anytime is the right time to pause and refresh." And there it was, in a Coca-Cola ad, the tasty sugary beverage founded in 1892 right here in Atlanta, Georgia. In fact, their main slogan in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s was centered around the value of the pause that refreshes. Pause and refresh yourself, the drink that makes the pause refreshing. Stop for a pause. Go refreshed. Relax with the pause that refreshes. Anytime is the right time to pause and refresh. Now, let me be clear. I am not recommending Coca-Cola this morning. I'm not recommending it either. I'm just recommending the power of the pause. Because this is actually not a silly or a trivial point. In fact, in many ways, it's at the heart of so many of the stories of Scripture. He who has ears to hear, pay attention. God's Spirit is speaking. She who has ears to hear, pay attention because the Spirit is speaking. Because every moment is filled with the opportunity to pause, pay attention, and hear divine whispers. Pause, pay attention, and discover more through unlikely moments and encounters. From anthills and lilies and pennies and seeds. From diving boards, place kickers, and children hanging out with their dads at work. From prayers behind recliners to students complaining about workloads. And even from a 16-pack of Gatorade. Let's pray together. God, please give us ears to hear today, and tomorrow, and this week. Help us to see what you see in every situation. And God, may we have hearts increasingly transformed by these scriptures, and by your Spirit's presence, and by our church's love for one another. And now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.